Hey there, AdmissionAuto listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, a podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Stephen Black.
And I'm Cleo Handler. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Stephen, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
So I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies with a focus on film theory. Cleo, why don't you tell everyone where you went to college? I believe it was one of those lower tier schools that nobody's ever really heard of, but you know, has a
very decent reputation.
I don't know.
Well, let me clear things up for you, Stephen. I went to Yale. I graduated in 2012 with a double major in psychology and theater studies.
Awesome. Last week, we talked about social life in college, from fighting for your right to party / partying in the USA to forming lifelong bonds with amazingly intelligent, wonderful people.
This week, we're going to talk about graduation and beyond, leaving that cozy bubble of college behind and dipping your toes into the frigid waters of the real world.
Yeah, when you put it like that, though, it makes me wonder why anyone ever leaves college.
Okay, I was being a little dramatic.
All right, so typical Yale-y.
Oh, well, typical Harvardian not wanting to have fun.
Okay, all right. Just hang on a second. So we shouldn't be fighting because let's let our listeners in on this. This is our last podcast.
True, you're right.
All right, so, okay, let's just, you know, bury the hatchet. You know, so do you want to apologize to me for all the insults you've spewed about Harvard over the past 17 episodes?
Let me think about that. No.
All right, me neither. Let's get this show on the road. That brings us to our first topic of the day, which is graduation. That wonderful celebration, the glorious end of a college career. And Cleo, why don't you tell us what graduation was like at Yale?
Oh, it was so much fun. It was, first of all, it came after just like 2 weeks of, you know, you finish your finals, you turn in all your papers, and you just have time to kill with all your friends hanging out. So everyone, almost all of the people at Yale, went down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for a week just to hang out. And then we went back to Yale and we had senior week, which was great. It was like a bunch of events and mixers and parties and that sort of thing. And then we had graduation weekend itself, and it was this like fantastic celebration. We had the big graduation ceremony with the entire university, the smaller one for each of our colleges, multiple like dinners and brunches, and you know, it was just a wonderful time to celebrate with your friends and your family all in the same place. And then the next morning at like 8 a.m., we were all expected to leave.
Wow. So the commencement ceremony itself, was that the day before, like the graduation itself?
Yeah, it was a whole weekend, but we had something in our individual colleges first, I think. And then there was the overall commencement for all the university. Yeah.
Cool. So that's like the big celebration one with like the big, you know, that's the big deal one with where all like the graduate schools and undergrad schools come together.
Yeah. And it's just this massive gathering on Old Campus, which is like the main area where all the freshmen live. And Yale has this tradition of like wearing crazy hats for graduation. So some specific schools have a theme, like, you know, the School of Forestry all built like crazy trees on their heads. And like the Divinity School has like some sort of interesting like religious biblical diorama on their heads. And everyone else just does whatever they want. And everyone gathers on Old Campus, and you have a cool speaker and a class day video that the senior class writes and prepares to show at graduation. So it's a pretty cool thing. And there are awards given and all of that, which I'm sure is pretty similar to Harvard, right?
Graduation at Harvard is it's more like a, you know, graduation week. They don't do it on a weekend like you said at Yale because that would be way too convenient. Harvard does it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I mean, it's just three glorious days. You have all these different kinds of ceremonies and events, some things that are sort of newer, like class day, and some things that are you know, more rooted in tradition, like this baccalaureate ceremony where, you know, he's actually dearly departed, Reverend Gomes would give this long, you know, crazy speech, you know, about what lies ahead and all this stuff. And yeah, so basically it's just these three amazing days. My graduation in 2007, we had just the most beautiful weather in the world. We had memorable speakers. My class day speaker the day before graduation was Bill Clinton, who spoke for maybe 45 minutes without looking at a single page or a teleprompter, and was just awe-inspiring, just incredible. And then my graduation day speaker was Bill Gates, who also spoke and was just inspiring and talked a lot about, you know, his work around the world. And Harvard finally awarded him a degree because, you know, he dropped out way back when in the 70s. So he, you know, made a lot of jokes about that. But, you know, the whole Harvard graduation is just, it's like this wonderful whirlwind of amazing things. And it's supposed to leave a good taste in your mouth. And just like Cleo said, that, you know, Yale expects you to be off campus by 8 a.m. the next day. Then after graduation happens, Harvard basically says, yeah, you've got less than 24 hours to get out of here. And like, so you feel like, yeah, okay, that was
Pretty
great.
abrupt.
Yeah. And then you're just shoved into the real world. And then a week later, you get a call from the alumni committee asking, you know, if you want to donate money, which is like, you know, a little comical because you still have probably student loans to pay off. But, you know, that it's just, it's 3 days and it's supposed to be a celebration. It's meant to be like this great end to your college career, which it definitely was.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, actually. It's making me bittersweet and nostalgic just thinking about it.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, the one, you know, let's move into sort of a general discussion of college graduations away from the specific Harvard and Yale kind of you know, specific ceremonies. The main thing is that it's definitely different from high school graduation, as you can tell. Cleo and I have gotten a little wistful talking about it. Like, I can remember my high school graduation has like had like a vibe of like, yeah, we're finally getting out of here. Awesome. Like, on to the next thing. And college graduation is like, yeah, it's more of a celebration. It's you've gotten through these tough 4 years and, you know, you deserve all this pomp and circumstance as it comes to you.
Yeah, I mean, it can be kind of sad, of course, but try to enjoy yourself. This is obviously the last time everyone will be together in this situation, and you know, your family will be there with your friends and their families, and it's just this like wonderful, wonderful time with everyone you love. So enjoy it. Have fun.
Yeah, and at graduation itself, you know, Cleo and I both cover this. Like, big universities will have sort of a huge ceremony for the commencement itself, and like a university-wide ceremonies, then smaller ceremonies for specific schools like undergrad, law, medical school. The way they did it at Harvard was they broke you up into your upper-class houses. So you went to the big ceremony in the morning, and then you had a ceremony with your upper class house, which is where you received your diploma and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and it was a similar thing in at Yale, as I said.
Yeah, for sure. And just so some schools, you know, based on where you go, they have different requirements for what it takes for you to graduate. You've obviously got to like maintain a certain GPA. You can't be failing. Possibly, you know, writing a thesis, which is the final culminating work of your study, and which at Harvard was not a requirement. It was only a requirement if you wanted to graduate with the highest honors, either summa or magna. And then you also have to fulfill requirements like core general education requirements and a certain number of courses within your field. And then obviously, like, no serious breaches in your academic or personal conduct. You're not going to be able to graduate if you've been convicted twice of plagiarism or you've been, gotten into serious criminal trouble. But I want to jump back for a second to the thesis, because I didn't write one. I like I said, my work on that the show Ivory Tower was my sort of thesis. But I know Cleo, you wrote not only one but two.
I did. And one of those was required. At Yale, it really varies based on your major, and then again, whether you want honors. So one of them was required for theater studies, and then for psychology, it was optional. But I would just say to all of you out there, if you are double majoring and you do have to do two of these, try to spread them out. I did one in each semester, and it was totally manageable and like actually pretty great because I could focus on one major thing at a time. But I think doing two of them at once would have been hellish. So be aware of that. I think what we've mentioned them before, but it's really just this idea of like one final big project to sum up all of your studies in a particular field. So one was a play that I was the lead in and then wrote a big paper about my experiences as well as like the historical context of the play compared to other plays, etc. And the other was a psychology experiment that I designed and conducted and then analyzed the data and wrote up a lab report.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question I want to ask you first is it so at Yale, because I believe this is the way it is at Princeton, is it a requirement of everyone to write a thesis in order to graduate?
No, it depends on your major. I think there are some majors that do require it, but for the most part, no. It's really based on what you study. And even within some departments, it is optional based on, whether you want to try to go for the highest honors or not. And some things you just don't have to do it at all.
So, the bottom line, in order to reach this amazing graduation that is an unforgettable whirlwind of just awesomeness, is that you've got to know your requirements all throughout college at every step of the way, and that make sure each semester is a positive move forward towards graduation, that you've knocked out a couple of, maybe general requirements, or you're on the right track for within your major, and so you really just want to make sure that you're aware of all of that, because senior year is a little too late to start like panicking about like, oh my God, I haven't taken like 10 classes that I need to take. So yeah, keep all that stuff in mind as you go, and make sure you're fulfilling those requirements so you can enjoy that incredible graduation experience.
Right. And in that that week leading up to that graduation experience or whatever the equivalent is at your school, as you're getting ready to leave this bubble behind and enter the real world, keep your eyes peeled for events that might help you. Like I know at Yale there were lots of mixers and like Yale and New York things and Yale and LA and little get-togethers with people who might be in the areas that you will be in the future. And even if you don't know yet for sure, it's cool to go to these things and try to get a sense of, who's going to be around, potential roommates, connections, new friends. So even though obviously you're focused on the people you want to see right now during this last week, you can also kind of look ahead and try to take advantage of these get-togethers because they can help get you set up. And that will transition us into the next topic, which is the idea that attending top-tier schools like the ones that we're talking about, as well as a million others, often give you some really huge benefits for entering your real life after graduation.
Yeah, so we're going to call these the post-graduation benefits of going to these schools. I mean, when you're talking about top tier slash Ivy League schools, like obviously it's having graduated from such a prestigious university is a big deal. So the first thing that you want to take advantage of even before you graduate are your school's career services. These can be a massive resource. I even started using them my freshman year to help me find summer jobs and internships. And depending on your school, though, career services can be different depending on what field you're looking to go into. Like at Harvard, if you want to go into finance, the career services is an incredible, incredible resource and can help, you know, give you all the, you know, beneficial leads that you could possibly ask for. But I remember going in my freshman year and said, like, oh, what are your resources for careers in film? And they gave me like a little one page paper that had like
right. you know,
sites like entertainmentcareers.net or like mandy.com, like things that I could find on Google. And I was just like, right. oh, thanks. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of similar at Yale, unfortunately. The one thing I want to say is that obviously, like, these finance consulting jobs recruit pretty heavily from these schools, and that's awesome if that's something you're interested in. There are tons of resources for you, but be aware that they start early. A lot of my friends who are interested in finance did at least one summer internship at, you know, some sort of place, a bank or something, before their senior year, and then applied to these jobs very early on. They like to see that you have the summer experience there, and, you know, so it starts really early. And for consulting as well, I know most people interviewed in like September, had a job by October of their senior year, and then it's kind of like getting in early to college when you're still in high school. You know, you can kind of like relax a little bit for the rest of the year because you know you're totally set with a career in place.
Yeah, that's a really good point, is that a lot of these careers will want to hire you and lock you down early, which is obviously for their benefit and also for yours. And so, yeah, you've got to be pretty active in that. And you know, like Cleo said, summer internships can be important. Like, I knew a lot of people who, not even just in the finance world, had summer internships somewhere, you know, their junior summer before, their summer after junior year before senior year. And that's where they ended up working after college. So that's why those internships, yeah, it can be important, because it's like setting you up for a later job.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, sometimes they might offer you a job at the end of the summer even, or say that like it's very likely that we'll have a place for you. But, you know, obviously that differs based on the field. Like, you know, my Yale and Hollywood internships weren't really offering me any like major jobs right out of college, but that's okay. You know, it's still like a wonderful time to meet people and get connected and get a lot of experience in the field. And like Steven said, that one summer before your senior year is a big one. So try to think carefully about what kind of internship or program you want to do that summer.
Yeah, it's sort of like when we talked about summer before your senior year in high school being very important, because what you do can have an effect on, you know, your college applications or later career. That same summer is very important as well, because, you know, you want to hopefully try to set something up. But, you know, if not, don't necessarily worry about it. There are other, you know, if, you know, you don't have a job that you love this summer before senior year, you don't have to be panicked, because there's a lot of other ways to, you know, look for jobs. Another thing, you know, another thing that's really wonderful at Harvard and Yale and all the top tier schools are these alumni networks. These can be just indispensable. These are great ways to connect with former students who are in the field or who are on the same career track that you're interested in.
Right. And even if, you know, career services doesn't seem that useful to you in your field, reach out to these alums. They're often incredible resources, people who have had time to establish themselves in these fields that you want to be a part of, who, you know, are only too happy to try to help a new person, even, you know, a person at Yale, someone they went to school with. Or, you know, not at the same time, but they went to the same school. They're often very excited to do whatever they can to help you. And the one thing I want to say is that at the very beginning, really try to just take whatever you can get, bite the bullet, even if it's unpaid, because it will pay off. I know that that is kind of a frustrating thing to wrap your head around when you just graduate school and you need to make some money. If you're writing emails to people who you really admire in these amazing fields and just kind of offering your services, you know, to be an assistant or an intern or a receptionist, anything, They may just take you on in, you know, an unpaid capacity at first, and then once you prove to them how amazing you are, it could turn into a paid job later, or you could just learn so much and meet so many interesting people in the field that it pays off in a different way.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. And I want to dig in a little deeper to something that a point that Cleo was making about, you know, when you're reaching out to these people and be, you know, being nice and offering your services. You know, one thing that's great, I mean, with the power of, you know, the internet, is that it's easier than ever to sort of stay connected, to reach out to alums. Harvard has this service called Crimson Compass, which is a big alumni network where you can find, you know, alumni who are in certain fields, who are interested in talking to recent graduates, giving advice. And so what I would do when I graduated is I would send out, you know, these emails to people like on Crimson Compass. And I just being incredibly polite and just saying like, look, if, you know, I could just have a few minutes of your time on the phone or to grab coffee if you're available, just to, you know, pick your brains and hear what it's like in the industry, and just being very, very sort of nice about it. And, you know, I got the chance to meet with a ton of alums and get a lot of great advice. And the thing that I heard from them was that, wow, like your email was just so nice and so cordial. You can't imagine how many emails we get from recent graduates that are essentially, hey, can you get me a job? And like alums are just like completely turned off by that. It's like, no, why, you know, just saying, come to me and saying, hey, get me a job. Like, I don't even really know you. Like, you know, that's just not how it works in the real world. And, you know, so that's just a good thing to keep in mind, is to, you know, make sure you're always nice and cordial and like you're not asking specifically even for anything. You're just, like Cleo said, offering yourself, like if they would want, or you're just, you know, you want some information, because you, I mean, information to be able to pick somebody's brain who's been in the business that you want to get into is really invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really true, to try to write a polite email offering your services but not demanding anything. And that can really go a long way. Especially if, like I said, you're willing to start at the bottom and, you know, work your way up.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of, you know, overprivileged graduates of these great universities, but sometimes it's not going to be all that easy. And like Cleo said, you're going to have to start at the bottom. And, you know, there are more alumni networks than just these school-wide alumni networks. There's ones that are like based on location, like Harvard has certain clubs in different cities, like the Harvard Club of New York, the Harvard Club of Boston. And these are great places to go for events, meet other alumni, or even use facilities. Like they often have like great athletic clubs. And there's also alumni networks based on occupation, you know, law, medicine, government. And, you know, there's a great one that I joined when I graduated called Harvardwood. It's a network of alums who are interested in, you know, careers in entertainment. And, you know, whereas Harvard didn't have great career support for that, it does have a great alumni group for it.
Right. Like just one example, when I got out of college, I wasn't really sure how to get started in the theater scene in New York. And I ended up, this actually wasn't really through Yale, but just through connections of people I knew, ended up going to this playwriting convention in Ojai as an unpaid intern. But it was so much fun. And I interned for Terrence McNally, who is this famous award-winning playwright, wonderful man, who then asked me, you know, do you have any interest in working as my assistant on my show on Broadway? And I said, I'm moving to New York tomorrow. Yes, please. And then that happened. And I did that for a few months. And it was wonderful. So, you know, you really just have to start wherever you can, and it will lead to something pretty quickly if you do your job well and you're, you know, kind and grateful and everything.
Yeah, and be open to like those kind of experiences. Like, I don't think that would have happened to you, Cleo, unless you were, you know, you're putting yourself out there, you know,
right,
sending emails, and then also being open to the possibility that, hey, this could turn into something else or it might not. But, you know, so don't have this expectations that, oh, it, it definitely will, but when it does, yeah, take advantage of that. I mean, that's a really, really great thing. And also another quick side note. We're talking a lot about careers and stuff like that, but if you're interested in like post grad fellowships and scholarships, Fulbright Rhodes, things like that, which a lot of students at top tier and Ivy League schools take advantage of, for sure. These schools are incredible resources and a major help on the often tough road to getting one of these coveted spots in these fellowships or with these scholarships. And I had a lot of friends who did some really cool stuff, like on Fulbright scholarships, and that. So if you're interested in doing something like that, your school's is pretty much going to be an amazing resource for you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last quick thing is also alumni networks. One of their biggest purpose and one of the things that they do, most passionately is they organize reunions too. So that's why you want to make sure your info is updated so you can hear about those great reunions that are coming up because, they're always a lot of fun.
Woo! So, on that note, let's talk about the real world. You have transitioned out of college. Hopefully, you've gotten yourself set up in a really great way. You're going to reunions. You're hopefully getting started on the right foot. But just in case things aren't quite as peachy as I just described, here are some tips to help you out.
Yeah, so this is going to be, in our final episode, this is, we're calling this Lessons for the Real World, and, we're going to impart our infinite wisdom about the transition from college into the real world and beyond. So think of it as our podcast's version of a commencement speech, just like those wonderful commencement speeches given by Bill Gates and, brilliant people. Now you have to hear from the brilliant minds of Cleo and Stephen to give you advice as you move into the real world.
Count your blessings, guys. This is huge.
Yeah, I mean, just really take notes because you won't hear a commencement speech like this anywhere else. Thank you for all your applause. It's really appreciated.
Thank
You
you,
guys can
thank
all
you.
sit down. I mean, it's great. Oh, the standing ovation, that's unnecessary.
Oh, well, thank you. We appreciate it.
You guys have been great. So here's lesson number one. Lesson number one in our Lessons for the Real World. You should know that your school's name and reputation are important, but it will only take you so far. At some point, you're going to have to step up and deliver yourself.
That's definitely a good point.
So yeah, I mean, did you relate to that at all, Cleo? Did you know kids who just thought the Yale name was going to carry them through?
Yeah, of course. There's definitely a lot of that, like, oh, it doesn't really matter, whatever, I have a Yale diploma. But it does. It does. That might get you in the room, but it's not going to get you the job.
Of course, yeah, that's a great way to put it. And I definitely knew a lot of kids who just thought a Harvard diploma was an instant ticket to every dream fulfilled. But you've got to really, it's like Edison said, the 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. You got to put yourself out there.
Okay, and then lesson two on that note, take initiative. Don't be afraid. Pursue the things that you're interested in. You never know what a direct, persuasive email can do.
Yeah, we definitely learned that lesson from you, Cleo, in the
Yeah.
emails that have changed your life for sure. And you can't get to that point without initiative. And so lesson number three. So even though you might be in debt after graduation, which most graduates are, consider giving back to your school on a regular basis, even if it's a small amount. The key word here is regular, meaning that it, you know, you give the same little donation every year. And the hint here is that this might be helpful to your kid's admission into your alma mater one day. Schools like to see that, you know, you are consistently in touch with them or consistently giving back or grateful to your education. You don't necessarily have to donate a building, but it's good to show that, you know, you're appreciative of what they've given you.
Right. That is definitely a good thing to keep in mind. Even if it seems like, oh my God, I just graduated. How can I give you money right now? Just any little thing makes a big difference and shows that you're grateful for the wonderful things that the school did for you.
And it's also, I mean, even though a lot of these schools have, you know, multi-billion dollar endowments, what's good about giving back to the schools, you can specify how you want
right.
your money to be used. So I give back every year and I give back and specify that I want it to go to financial aid because
I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's because I'm really grateful to have gotten such generous financial aid and trying to pay it forward, you know, in the littlest way.
Yeah, exactly. And then lesson four for you guys, we've already touched on this, but if you feel like your dreams are very, very far away, try surrounding yourself with people who are in those worlds, pursuing those dreams, and offer your services. Like we said, offer to help out, to be an assistant, an intern. These jobs might be unpaid at first, but that will change quickly when people realize how essential you are. But then again, I just want to note, make sure it is helping you and you are gaining what you want from it, because also, there are, you know, are definitely people out there who might just keep you on as an unpaid intern for a long time, past the point of it being useful to you. So just be aware, be grateful, and move on when you have to.
Oh yeah, don't get taken advantage of. That's yeah.
That's
a good
happens.
Point.
So yeah.
All right. So lesson number five: consider being an alumni interviewer for your school. I've done it since I graduated, and it's a great way to stay connected and serve an important purpose in shaping your school's future. There's nothing that I like more than being a part of the application and admissions process.
Lesson number six, if you feel lost or confused in your post-collegiate life, try to seek out some kind of structure. That can be enormously helpful, especially if you're trying to do something, you know, self-motivated. You're trying to write a book or be a playwright or a director or something, but having trouble disciplining yourself to stay on track. Things like classes, workshops, writing groups, fellowships, etc. These things can really help, you know, give you a weekly deadline or something that you have to work up to and, you know, help manage your workload.
Yeah, that's structure can be huge, especially if you are kind of in a situation that a lot of people find themselves in after college, which is sort of drifting a little bit and you're not, you know, maybe moving from one thing to another. Structure can be a huge help for sure. And that sort of leads into lesson number seven, which is don't expect everything to be peachy and amazing. You know, college is this beautiful, comfortable bubble of, you know, awesomeness where life makes sense and, you know, you have meal plans and dining halls where you can just go get something to eat whenever you want. But the truth is, you know, real life, it can get downright tough after graduation, even for the most well-educated people. So what matters most is not how quickly you can gain success, but rather how well you can deal with failure and persevere.
That is so true. The winter after, you know, your first year in the real world, I felt like that for me was the hardest. Like, you know, the fall is like, it's all exciting and new. And then it's like, especially if you're on the East Coast, suddenly it's like 30 degrees and lonely and, you know, hard and you're not making enough money and people don't take you seriously. And that can be really tough at first. But that leads us into lesson eight, which is basically very similar to lesson seven, but it might be a little lonely at times, but that is okay. Soon, you will carve out a new, amazing community for yourself, just like you did in college, and it will be awesome all over again.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, when you went to college and you didn't have anything really set up for you and you had to build it yourself, that's what you have to do again. And even though you're making those new friends, leads me to lesson number 9, which is stay close to those you love, you know, if not in location, then in spirit. The best relationships that you had in college continue to grow long after graduation. And it's a good idea, even while you're building these new great communities of friends and colleagues and people you work with and people you live in the same, who you guys live in the same city, you know, it's important to keep those relationships that were important to you from college, just because, you know, it's great to have these people still in your lives. And it's fun to, when you finally get a chance to see them, even if they live on the other side of the world, and then it feels like, you know, you never really missed a beat from the last time you were together. So those relationships can be really valuable.
Right. And lesson 10 is that you will finally be in the real world trying to do all those things that you've been studying for and preparing for all of these years. So how cool is that? Say goodbye to the kiddie table and hello to the big kids, the main course, the main event. Go forth and prosper. We know you can do it. This is the time that your whole education has been leading up to.
Very well said, Cleo. Very well said. So those are our 10 lessons for the real world. And thus concludes our commencement speech. We will confer upon ourselves the honorary degrees of awesomeness. As podcast mavens, we will we'll bestow upon ourselves infinite titles of greatness. And we'll also, you know, to all of our audience, you are now receiving virtual diplomas of finishing this 18-week podcast course and learning about the application process, college, graduation, and beyond. So congratulations to you all.
And if you want to show your appreciation about a week later by donating back to Podcast University, that's how it works.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm kidding. You don't actually have to donate, but get ready for that in college.
Yeah, but if you guys want to just, you know, send us, like, I don't know, like gift cards, that's cool, you know.
Love notes.
Just anything, you know, anything. It's just sentimental value. That's what we're looking for.
So overall today, just to do a recap of what we've discussed, we talked about point number 1, graduation is a celebration. You should enjoy it. Point number 2, make use of your school's career services and alumni networks when you graduate. And number 3, follow Cleo and Steven's lessons for the real world. We're not experts, but hey, we know a thing or two.
We definitely do. And, you know, I just want to end this podcast by really giving a heartfelt thanks to all of you out there who've been listening. It has been our pleasure to do these podcasts week after week. We enjoy getting together and sharing this info with you. We really hope it's been helpful. We hope we've given you some valuable advice that you can use towards the future. And we want to thank you so much for listening to us. You know, even though we can sometimes be a little crazy and long-winded, just like I'm being right now. But we want to thank you for sticking through it all.
Thank you guys so much for listening in. We really do hope that it's been helpful. So thank you for joining us on this particular episode, as well as hopefully the rest of them. The League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure not to address them in future podcasts, but to answer your emails personally. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. How'd you like season 1 of our show? Let us know. All right, Stephen. Well, that's all for this week. Maybe until season 2?
Season 2 sounds good. Join Cleo and me then for even more fun on the League of Extraordinary Applicants.